Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Really, Dominic.
Welcome to the Really 007 podcast for this special interview with the fabulous Trina Parks. And of course, she's best known to Bond fans for playing the acrobatic thumper in Diamonds Are Forever. You can find us and listen in on iTunes and Spotify. And of course, we're here on YouTube, our YouTube channel as well. We're also on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. So do join in on the conversation there. With me today, my other contributors are Harry Pickup and Chris Goldie. Who are thrilled, I know they're thrilled to be in the presence of the first actor we've had who has been part of the Sean Connery era. So we're really excited about that, Trina. It's fabulous. So, Trina, I believe you're coming all the way from Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, I'm all the way from Atlanta, Georgia,
yeah.
USA.
And what's the weather
like
there?
You're in the UK.
Yeah, we're in the UK, and we're not doing so bad here. It's pretty sunny. Probably not as nice as...
It's sunny.
Yeah, for a change.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Trina. And Trina, you've had an astonishing career full of variety, really. An actor, dancer, choreographer, and have you even done some singing? Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I started my first show... actually in Beverly Hills, California, back in late 69, early 70.
So what kind of singing have you done?
Well, I actually put together, originally I was asked to come and do the movie Great White Hope with the choreographer that I had previously worked with, toured with, Donnie McHale, in his company, touring Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, we went to at that time before the wall came down. And then he was commissioned to choreograph the movie Great White Hope with James Earl Jones. But we had already also done the play Emperor Jones on Broadway and touring before that, after we came back from Europe. So when he was going to choreograph the Great White Hope, he called and said, we'd like to come to California. And I'd been there once with Anna Sokolow's company. I don't know if you know, Anna Sokolow was an original dancer with Martha Graham's company. And I also am trained in Graham. So came once to Berkeley to do a concert. And that was the only time I was in California. That was just at Berkeley. So I said, yeah, sure. I'd love to come to California and do the movie. And a lot of other of my dancer friends were in it. And that's originally how I came to California. And I decided, because my father was the lead tenor sax man in Cab Calloway's band, and Jimmy Lunsford and Scott Joplin before that. And so I had a lot of music of jazz and old, you know, vintage music. And he taught me a lot of about music. And also he was a teacher of classical music. So I learned a lot from him. Plus I was doing Broadway. And so I combined all of that kind of music in my act. I decided after I did the movie that I was going to do my own show. And that was my first show I put together with Broadway tunes and classical tunes and, you know, pop tunes and of that period too. I was handled by a lady that also invited all these different agencies there that I had no idea of, but Agency for the Performing Arts, which is APA and Cunningham, William Morris, about three or four agents came to see the show. Anyway, I signed with APA, and that's how I got to do the movie.
Right, okay.
At that time, of course, Marty Klein, who was the president of the agency, or my agent and then president, called me and said that the people from the Bond film, which I didn't know anything about, I had never seen a Bond film. I didn't even know who Sean Connery was when he asked me. he said they'd like to see you for this movie. I think he just said for this part for the Bond, James Bond movie. And when he told me about the part, I loved the part. And I said, fine, yeah, of course. And so that's originally how I was, cast to do it.
Yeah.
The first interview was an interview, wasn't actually a reading to the second interview. And then the third interview was that I had to do a screen test. And then the fourth one was when I had to do all kind of dancing movement. And I knew the part. I knew, you know, type of role it was. So I just put together a whole bunch of different choreography that I would think that would be used for that character.
And is that as part of a duo as well? Were you aware that you were half of a duo when you were auditioning?
You know, at that time, I really didn't. I didn't know that. I just knew it was for that role. Yeah. Mm. I didn't know it was Bambi and Thumper until after I really got the script and all that.
You know, Batrini, you mentioned Cab Calloway. Now, he was involved with the Blues Brothers, and I believe you were part of that as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I did Blues Brothers, the original Blues Brothers, and I was in the church scene with James Brown. Yeah,
yeah, really.
In the front dancing all wild. Yeah, but I didn't do the part. Cab was a whole nother time, section, area. We did that scene in the studio. And I think most of it, except for the, you know, location scenes and all that, where they're driving out of in the streets, were at in the studio.
Yeah. So that was with James Brown. So another soul legend.
Yeah. He was so great. That whole scene was just wonderful. And we had much fun. I think we did about 2 weeks on that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Just for that scene. Yeah. It was, and you're talking about, you know, was it 80?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And even then, because people ask me about filming, how it takes 2 weeks to film just like almost a 4-minute scene. I said, well, you know, first of all, it was a lot different than it is now, that the cameras were, you know, as big, I mean, huge cameras. Now there's a lot smaller cameras. We did, there was no digital. We did everything more so live. So Sean did a lot of his stunts, even though Bob, you know, was there. It looked a lot
him.
Yeah. And actually, he was a little bit shorter than he was, but kind of still buffy, you know. But he was so great to work with. But anyway, that was a great shoot also.
Mm-hmm. You grew up in New York, is that right?
Yeah, Brooklyn, and raised in Brooklyn and in Harlem.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amazing. Absolutely brilliant. You started off in Broadway.
Oh, Broadway,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I started off as a dancer, you know, and doing concert work, stage, and so then, you know, went on to Broadway mid to late 60s. You know, started taking auditions for that. Did a couple of few.
Yeah.
So was it always your intention to be a dancer or just a performer?
I always loved to dance. And I just felt that was what I should do. I loved to do it. And I was almost, my father was telling me this little story about when I took when he took me to piano class. You know, you sit next to the teacher and you're supposed to play the keys, what she plays, or, you know, if you could hear, they want to hear how you can, what you hear, what your ear is like for music. And Daddy said that first thing I did was I jumped up and started dancing. I didn't play one note. So when she started playing, I just jumped up, and that was the time where, I guess I was maybe 5 or 6 maybe. And I had the big crinoline skirts on, and I was just turning, and every time she change a tune, you know, change the beat, I'd change my dance with it. I didn't sit down and play one note. And he said he didn't think I was going to get the class, but I did take class. She did accept me. I had rhythm.
Yeah.
And I could hear a song and actually play it like with 4 fingers. And that was a kind of a deterrent to learning. When someone can hear something and play it, don't look at the music like you should. Yeah. You hear it and stop playing it. So, but, you know, I did. And then for my father teaching, a lot of times I would, you know, sit in the class when he was teaching classical music, flute and piccolo he would teach. So, you know, I learned a little, but my focus, because I danced practically every day. Of course, I went to, when I was going to performing arts high school, I was majoring in modern in Martha Graham. So I was there Monday through Friday, but then I would also take classes at the Catherine Dunham School doing that, which was on 42nd and 9th. And then sometimes on the weekends, definitely on Saturday, I would go down to the village and around 3rd, and Bleecker, somewhere around there, there was the Martha Graham School. And I was taught by her original dancers, which was such an honor. I didn't realize that until I grew up, that what great training that I had in those days, you know. All the great directors and, you know, choreographers. So that's all me. And I just loved it. But then when I first realized that I wanted to really sing and then really start more working on my acting, I just went for it.
Yeah.
And loved it all. Yeah.
You had a couple of blaxploitation films, didn't you? Early on, were they your first kind of films? Dark Town, Strutters, and The Mothers, two sort of really Strutters iconic classics of the genre now, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Strutters was fun because I was able to play different characters, and it was a comedic movie, but I was like the straight person in it. But yeah, that was fun, and starred with Roger Mosley, co-starring with him, and Stan Lathan, Shirley Washington, in that you would know. That's basically, but then I did The Mothers, which they changed the name. I don't know why. Jane Kennedy, Roseanne Caton, Jeannie Bell, and myself were the 4 stars that went to the Philippines to star in the movie The Mothers. It was all black, some kind of diamonds. It was diamonds in there, black girl thing in the beginning. And I said, why did they change it? You know, it was so adamant of what the original title was, but Mothers.
Yeah. Apparently it's one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite films.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good company there. Yeah. And he's obviously sort of done similar style films since, hasn't he? Which you were there first.
And it is something I really, really have been wanting to meet him. Right, John? we've been trying to get to him.
Oh, that'd be great. I'm sure it would. Yeah, that'd be super.
Yeah.
He only does films every few years, though, doesn't he? That's the problem.
I know. It takes quite a long time. I love all of his films, every single one.
He actually said he wouldn't mind directing a Bond film. So there you go. That would be very interesting.
Quentin did. Oh, wow. That would be. Oh, my gosh. That, you know, that may be really interesting. Put a little.
An X-rated.
Sort of. More X-rated.
Yeah. A violent Bond film.
And
violent.
Return of Thumper.
Yeah. Yeah, you said so. You'd never heard of Sean Connery, so you weren't aware of the previous films growing up.
Nope, I never saw a Bond film until I saw mine.
Wow, that's amazing.
I saw Diamonds. Never. You know, I was in New York. My thing was basically, well, I did, of course, I did Broadway, and I, you know, did with worked with several well-known names, you know, and actors, but I didn't really go to too many movies, and I didn't see any of Bond movies. So I didn't know Sean Connery at all. I didn't know who he was. And people were saying, "Oh, you're going to work with Sean Connery?" Yeah. And you see, at that time, there was not cell phones or, you know, computers where you could look up people and like, I didn't.
Was there any level of like secrecy like there is in films today where, you know, if you're casting a film as big as a James Bond film now, then you've probably got to keep really silent and hush about your parts. But at the time, were you able to talk freely about being cast in it?
My thing is I never talk about or say anything to anybody. At that time, of course, like I said, no cell phones or, you know, computers. Yeah. So you didn't put it on who I am in, so and so. So only thing I would say, when I sign that contract, that's when I know that I'm doing something. You know, that I actually have the role, you know, that and I learned that from doing theater and, you know, theater, dance and Broadway. Because sometimes you're saying, like, we were supposed to go on tour to Kowloon to do it when I was in a dance company. And that was a big thing. I mean, the people were there to sign the contract and all, and it fell through. So, you know, you got to be careful. But I know, personally, I never say anything until I know, like, pretty much I'm on that set.
Yeah.
Well, I've started my first rehearsal. So, no, I when I did the movie, again, I didn't, no computer, cell phone. So I did tell some people, and it was really something because, again, I did not know that I was the first American Black female to be in, you know, a feature role in the Bond film. And I, you know, of course, several of my dancer friends saw the movie. And the first time, really, the first time I really actually knew was when a friend of mine called me and said, "Do you know, you were the first Bond?" No. I loved doing the movie. And then when I did the movie, the next thing I was in New York to go to rehearsal for a play called Her First Roman with Barbara Barry and Paul, I can't remember his last name. But I was doing different things.
Just
not saying, "Oh, I'm the first. Oh, wow. Let me tell everybody."
So who did you initially speak to before actually filming? Obviously, you had the casting agent there, everyone. Did you get to meet Guy Hamilton or Cubby Broccoli or anyone?
Yeah, those were the first that I met when I with my first interview. Mm. Yeah, I knew Sir Hamilton and Sir Broccoli. And I believe Sir Broccoli's wife was there. What's her name? Anita Rittenall, about all of this. And again, I can't remember the name.
How was that as an experience, meeting all those people?
Oh, that was fine. I was fine. It was like in a big, you know, round table in the office, but at the agency at the APA in Los Angeles. They were there. I think Bob was there, and maybe script lady. It was like four people. And so they were asking me questions. And I'm not, you know, I'm not shy or, you know, or nervous or, you know, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I answered them. They, of course, they knew about my history of, you know, of dance and things I had done before that. Otherwise, they wouldn't have called to ask for me. But they wanted me to tell them about something, other things. And so I did. Just talk to them just like I'm speaking to you.
It's amazing. I mean, the character just sort of appears, and we don't really know whether she's a goodie or a baddie, I suppose. It's a bit ambiguous, yeah. So did you sort of have an idea in your mind, like a backstory or anything to suggest that you were on whose side?
Well, yeah. I mean, in script, I was working for Willard, you know, Willard White.
Yeah.
And, I was told anybody that, you know, comes into there with that I don't know that's a friend, then they are going to get some really some business yeah. from me, because I'm not going to let anybody in that door. Now, well, he comes in the door, but he's not going to get further than that without
a kick in the nuts.
And I like that.
You're the first person to surely kick Sean Connery in the nuts. I mean, that's another first, Trina. Incredible.
Well, hi there. I'm Bambi.
Good morning, Bambi.
And I'm Thumper. Is there something we can do for you?
I can think of several things offhand, but at the moment I'm looking for Willard White.
Oh, Willie. Why, he's right out there.
And that's all there is to it?
Not quite. First, we're going to have a ball. All yours, Bambi.
Because that was one time I was a little hesitant.
Yeah.
On kneeing him. I mean, I knew, you know, not to really do it. But yeah. Even when I was doing it kind of lightly, and I remember Sir Broccoli was saying that, Trina, we know you can do it harder, and what's, you know, the problem? I said, well, I remember this, like, I really didn't want to hurt him. So
yeah.
He said, well, you know, he has one of those football covers on him. He said he might have two of them. Oh, okay.
Permission
okay,
to
we got
go
it
ahead.
Now. Yeah. So the next take was it. That was funny because the people, the texts and all, they started laughing. I don't want to hurt them.
You're on again, Bambi.
Was it a lot of improvisation, or did you have to go through each step very, very rigorously?
Yeah. No improvisation. No, we had for a couple of days before, Bob and I, first it was just Bob and I, went through each step. It took probably a whole day or more, you know, or into the next day of what exactly we were doing. And then when we got to the middle part, Bambi has Tashan around his neck. And I do that, what I called the stalking section.
Yeah.
Before that, we just kind of went through the whole scene where we would end up. And then that whole section, Bob wanted me to do something myself. And so we went through several different things because he said, of course, Sir Broccoli and Sir Hamilton would like to see that. Yeah. So we had, he said, because I'm not a dancer, you are. So, okay, you got some things I'll have. So I had two different sections that he liked, and we showed them probably the third day or maybe second half the second day or something like that.
You called it the
stalking
section. You go on, sorry.
I call it the stalking section.
Yeah, can you tell us more about that, kind of, because that sounds really appropriate.
Because when I do the kick and the turn, it's like an animal
wants
to stalk someone and just going to actually, before that other animal realizes he's coming, or she's coming, he's got him.
Yeah.
So that's when I kicked him. I call it that stalking section. And so they liked one of the sections that I did, and that's what you see on camera.
Yeah, I think that is brilliant. That stalking section, as you call it, is absolutely brilliant. It's so, and again, something very new for the series at that time, a sort of different way of fighting and how you've kind of fused dance with fights and then making it animalistic is visually, it's amazing to watch. It's really, really amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun too, and I loved it. One reason too, Bob was fabulous to work with. I mean, we knew exactly what we had to do, but he also, it was like working with a choreographer for a theater piece or dance concert piece, because, you know, really working together on it. that's what I loved about, because it was like I was doing a theater piece instead of a movie. It was just lots of cameras in front of me, you know. Yeah. And we were able to do it again, not like theater when that's it, do it once. But it was a lot of fun. It was one, well, it was an iconic movie, which I had no idea was so iconic until afterwards. But I was having really as what I say in the beginning, I was really having a ball.
Yeah. when you got to, is it Palm Springs where it was set?
Yep.
I mean, right that, in the what was El your Rod thought house. When you saw this amazing house with all these people, you're on a massive project. It must have been quite daunting, maybe. Or?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, did the whole thing in that house.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, you can't see the house because it's at the complete top of the hill off of Palm Canyon, West Palm Canyon. But you can see Bob Hope's house,
which
looks like a round spaceship or something. Yep. Well, that house, well, the Elrod house is above that. It's the very top.
Oh, okay.
Are we still going up?
Yeah.
And how long did you film there for?
About 2 weeks, yeah.
Does that include the bit outside in the pool where you get dunked?
Oh, yeah. Well, the pool is right there in the house.
Right, so...
Yeah, it's at the end of the house, yeah. And those, people were saying, those rocks, those are real rocks. Real rocks. No plastic or foam rubber like they would do these days. Maybe.
Including real. The indoor rock that you're lying on to begin
Every
with.
Every rock you see. Real. Because that, when I was, because that house is made out of that rock, big rock that, you know, formation. And the rock where, you know, where you first see Thumper, almost a half a day or more, not almost, we were half a day, no, on that scene. So my side was getting really, you know, worn and sore. So they had to put like something soft cushion on there. So I'm on a cushion in the movie.
Okay.
But you can't see it. But yeah, because laying on that real rock all day, can you imagine?
Yeah.
It's not smooth, it's bumpy. And also at the very end, where the pool is, those are real rocks around there. So even if I could dive, which I'd really... Well, I can, but I don't dive well. I can swim, but they wouldn't have let me because I was with, you know, Screen Actors Guild. That would be too dangerous. If anything, if I hit my foot, anything could happen. I really didn't dive in into the pool. I won't. And it's Thumper.
Hello, Felix. Well, you know it. Willard White is about to be executed, and guess who's giving breaststroke lessons? Where the hell is White?
I haven't found out yet. Still haven't found out.
Right.
Only thing I didn't like was that I wasn't there when they did that second unit. So, and I would have said something about her hair. Mine was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it was Sean though, was it? Jumping in.
It didn't look like him.
Well, Sean did. Oh, no.
That
was a Sean going.
His hair as well.
He did a lot, but he didn't do that. Oh, no. Neither he or I could do that.
But it was you underwater getting
it was one,
pushed
underwater.
Yeah.
Now, these
Dangerous.
Days, they wouldn't have that.
No.
Being underwater that long, they would probably have us in the dressing room or on the side and have the stunt people underneath, and then the shot when we come up, we would just come up.
Yeah.
But we were under there a long time. You're talking about when, you know, the guys come running in and Sean is talking to them, and we're still under there. Now, I knew we would be under there, but I didn't know we were going to be under there that long.
Yeah. is Sean standing on something? Because he seems to kind of have higher than you guys and able to hold you down. Did Sean get to stand on something?
Yeah, I think he was standing on something.
It's all right for him then.
He was. I think he was.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I think what happened, this is what we did. We were further in, you know, to the lower level of the water.
Right.
Yeah.
That was two,
That's right. I remember saying walk further in, you know, to the lower level. Yeah, that's what happened. You know, when I do these signings, you know, and all, which I'm getting ready to do in a couple of days in Colorado.
Oh, good.
You have these James Bond initiatives. I mean, just know everything about Bond. You know, they ask you, you know, so-and-so-and-so. No.
Tell
me about it. I feel like, oh, goodness, I don't know that. And he knows everything.
We're a bit like that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's fun though. I've learned a lot about the film from you all.
Yeah. And us here.
Lots of things I didn't know.
You mentioned having a little bit of a sort of backstory in terms of that you worked for Willard White and you were there to sort of protect him and, you know, batter anyone who comes, you know, close to that. But were you given anything beyond that, or did you kind of create anything, you know, because it seems that Bambi and Thumper are quite, you know, they're quite theatrical and there is a sort of performance with the, like, you're more of a dancer and, you know, the other one is more of an acrobat. I always had this, you know, idea that you would kind of worked in Vegas, characters worked in Vegas kind of performing, but we're also his bodyguards. Does that kind of ring true in any way?
That's really something, because I had, well, of course, I spoke with Sir Hamilton regarding the part and on the set with the part, and he liked the different strength of that I was doing with the part. Of course, they wanted just someone who danced, the character, not just no karate. She would have to have like the dance style to, he wanted that style to it, but I wanted to bring even more strength to it. And again, you mentioned theatrical. I guess I loved, I love the theater and being almost raised in the theater as a dancer and all that. I brought that also to it just naturally. If I was doing anything that either Sir Raphael or Sir Hamilton wasn't, you know, didn't like, they would say to me, like when after I throw Sean, and then I go over to the wall and I say, you got him, Bambi.
Yeah.
You take him. Now, he didn't tell me to do that. I put my hand on my hip. You got him, Bambi. You know, it's just like a style.
Brilliant. That amazing.
I could have just said, you got him, Bambi, or whatever, you know, but I, you know, so you give it something, you know, anybody can say, you got him, Bambi, or you get him, Bambi. You know, it's got.
Yeah.
That's, I think, amazing. Very much a case of you bring your experience and you're kind of creating something, like say on the page could be quite dull, but you've turned it into such a memorable character and memorable scene. Yeah. There's really nothing quite like it in the entire series, is there?
Because
it's just so striking.
It was fun. And my thing, when I first was in the audience and seeing it, I think I was in the back and seeing the reaction of the people. It's really something, because here is, you know, 007 is the good guy. And I am basically, you know, not the good guy. And they're rooting for
me. Yeah.
Yeah. Go get him, Thumper, go get him. You know, that was amazing. I didn't know that would happen.
Yeah.
I'm being a Sean Connery and you rooting for me. Or for Thumper. So it was fun. So obviously, you know, it worked.
Yeah, at the time it will have been incredibly original, and I think it does still remain totally original in the franchise.
Yeah.
And like Chris has said, totally iconic, and it's an immediate image that's never really been recreated in the franchise at all. They've not even come close to kind of doing something similar to that. So it remains a real one-of-a-kind fight sequence that you're in.
Thank you. I'm glad. I had no idea. You know, when you're in your 20s, you don't think, oh, when I'm 75, nah,
yeah, I'll yeah. Can I ask about Lola?
When I'm 75, I won't be here.
Lola Larson, was she someone that you... Did you spend... How much time did you spend with her in rehearsals and choreographing things? Or did you do it independently and then come together just on set?
Well, the first, because she came in the second, I believe, the second day or so. And it was that person was not the same person that was originally yep. cast. The third day, that's when Mary came. Well, her name is Mary came in because I wasn't told anything, of course, but I just feel because they wanted more of her to do the acrobatics. And she was in the Olympics at that time. The other character who came in. And she, since then, that was her first and last film because she wasn't an actress or anything. That's why she could do the jumps and the diving into the pool and all that, because she was not in SAG. So she did it Taff Hartley for that first film and was great. She's very young. She's about 16, maybe.
Really?
Wow.
And, she's young. She was wonderful. We didn't talk too much because she was kind of shy. And of course, she was completely different age. And the first lady who came, she was an actress. So we spoke a little bit, but, you know, not that much. So, but we did, for being completely two different age groups and, you know, her not being in done a film before, she did a great job. And I had, and she, well, she's now... She's since been in the medical field and very high administrator in the medical field. I saw her once 2 years ago. We had a big James Bond fundraiser thing in San Francisco. And that's when I saw her since we did the film. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You're saying iconic. Go on. Sorry.
No, I was saying she has, you know, she hasn't wanted to do any signings or go anywhere because, you know, that's her. And I can understand. And even then she had her daughter and son-in-law there. And she was saying, Ma, you should go and do some signings with Trina. They're always asking, you know, I get asked about her all the time.
Where's Bambi?
She's not in. which would be nice. Yeah. But I can understand. She's in a completely different field.
Yeah.
Completely
different.
But your outfits as well, so iconic. Do you still have the yellow bikini? You know.
No, I wanted to keep it, but of course they had a couple because at the very last scene we did it a couple times, so they had to have a few outfits, a few of them. But when I had mine, and one was gone. But now when I took mine off, it was wet. So the costume person took it, and I was I was the last one there because that was the last, very last scene. And Bambi was there too, but she had left a little earlier. Oh, I know why, because then I swim over and I point down to Willie White. I knew it. Yeah. That's why I was laughing. And because they shot front to back, so that was the very last scene shot. And then I left. Well, of course, they drove me back to the hotel and I was ready to go. I think it was the next day morning. I was flying back to New York. Right. So I didn't even think about, I should have kept the wet. One, pack the other one up. Save that one for me. I know now.
Yeah, worth a lot of money. We've got to ask you about Sean, Trina. We obviously love him, and he hasn't long passed, so that's obviously been very sad recently. But what was he like to meet, and what was he like as a gentleman?
So fabulous. Now, we were staying at the same hotel, and I think it was the Hilton, but it was, you know, on Palm Canyon, not too far as you come into Palm Springs. And he wasn't shooting, but he was up. He sent me, I was sent a message saying that he wanted to meet me before we got on the set downstairs and, you know, in the cafeteria or whatever. And I thought that was just wonderful. So yeah. That was really the first time. And we talked a little before they came to pick me up. He was not on a set until a couple days later. Because like I said, I had to do my, the set layout with Bob first. Yeah, really. It was like we had worked together before because I was comfortable with him and he was comfortable with me. People say, well, maybe it was better that you didn't know him before. It wouldn't have made a difference. Like I said, he's not the first big star name I've worked with.
No.
So,
didn't know who he was. Like,
Well, you can see why he's a star, surely, after working with him.
Yeah. He was just knowing his story about how even he was brought up, you know, and I think it was what he called that, what we would call like the ghetto part of Harlem.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he, you know, it wasn't a rich family that he was brought up with. So I think he has that consideration and that empathy for other people and other people of other ethnicities that possibly have gone through the same things he had. Yeah, he was good guy. And I'm really so disappointed that I didn't get to see him. I did see him again in the late 80s and 90s when I was in New York. I just happened to see he and his wife, Micheline, they were going into a store. And I was waiting on Madison Avenue to go back home for the bus. And they were coming in to go to the, it was a cutlery store. And I happened to turn around. It was winter. It was I heard this commotion like, and then I said, Sean Connery walked into the store with, you know, I said, oh my gosh. So Micheline was in front. And so I came in behind her and then I said, hi. And I said, don't say anything. Good. And I guess she just kind of then realized who I was. And then when I said, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, hi, it's Trina. He's oh, Thumper. I wish we had cell phones then.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I wonder if he subtly slipped in one of his football guard protectors when he saw you downstairs.
That was really a funny time though, doing that scene. Dude. We did it. As like I said, we did it a few times before. Sir Broccoli said to me, Trina, I don't think you're really doing that.
So is Sean, would you say he's your favorite James Bond?
Even from all the ones. And then after that, Roger Moore. And I met Roger too.
Oh, did you?
They had a tribute to him and we were invited to his event. Yeah, it was really nice. So we have pictures on stage with him and all that. Of all the signings I've done and spoken to people, Sean is on the top of the list.
Yeah, good. We love him.
Mentioning Roger Moore, I understand that you knew Gloria Hendry and Jeffrey Hall.
Oh gosh, yeah. Gloria and I were friends way before we did the film.
Oh, right.
Wow. All of us. Yeah. Oh yeah. And in fact, Gloria modeled with my husband, because my husband, Charles, bless his soul, Charles Elder, was one of the top black models back in the 60s in New York. And Gloria was, you know, modeling with him. And then I met Gloria. I think, you know, I don't remember exactly how and when we met, but I know she was one of the first black Playboy bunnies. And it was either Chicago or New York, because I was invited. I performed at one of the two. I can't remember which one. And I got a Playboy key.
Oh, amazing.
Like I was going to use it. No, but but they gave all the entertainers a Playboy key. So any of the places. So, but anyway, that she was there. And, but yeah, that was before we both did the film.
Yeah.
Mm. So we've known each other for, long time. good friends. Worked together since. She's written a play and produced a play in Los Angeles, and I was doing the choreography for it.
Oh, right.
So very good, very nice, very good play.
Obviously, knowing them before, that they were obviously going to be in, she was going to be in Live and Let Die, were you able to sort of offer advice about her obviously appearing in a Bond film of her own, that you were able to offer her some advice, because obviously she was in Live and Let Die?
Oh, no. She had done other films, and she, you know, like fighting films. I forget the name of a couple of films did where she was fighting also. So, yeah, no, she knew exactly what to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're pioneers. You guys are pioneers. The first black Bond women in the entire series, which is paved the way. You know, we've had Grace Jones, we've had Halle Berry, and now Naomi Harris. So it's been, you were the first. So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really wasn't something I knew. Like I said, I knew of, but it's been just wonderful. Yeah. She was the first love interest for Bond woman, first black Bond woman love interest. And I was the first to beat up and live.
Yes,
You did,
yeah.
You met up those other women, didn't you, a few years ago? There was an event, is that right?
I was, yeah.
Gloria and Halle.
It was really nice. They had a tribute to black Bond women in L.A. I think it was 2018, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And 18, I think. And it was just wonderful. Of course, it was Gloria, I, and Halle and Naomi came. Grace wasn't able to show up.
Mm.
And so we were able to talk just a little bit because they were taking pictures and, you know, and then Halle and Naomi had to leave right after the event. But it was nice because the other one thing we were wishing, it was a huge hall. It was at the museum, I think it was African American Museum in Los Angeles, big hall in the front, you know, the first area where you come to. And we were sitting, and the way they had it is Gloria and I were sitting on one side, and then they had the stage in front, and then they were showing each one of our, you know, scenes from each one of our movies. And then they had Halle and Naomi, like, sitting like a mile from us on the other side. And I said, why don't they put us in one, you know, table right in front so people could come and talk to all of us like we were doing a signing or something, you know? Yeah. They had us on two different sides. And so and Gloria was saying, well, I guess they're having the vintage Bonds together and the new ones on the other side. Gloria, be great.
What a great honor. And after I did the movie, I didn't realize that I was the first really black James Bond villain But I am so, so proud to be here. So proud. And thank you. Thank you for doing this for us. You know, thank feel the same way, I think, about that. Thank you so much. What a wonderful experience it was. And I just want to say, too, about the Bond girls, especially my sisters, the first time that you meet, you've never seen each other. Gloria and I have known each other since way back before we did the Bond film. But you meet the Bond lady, the first time, it is like, we're sisters, right? I mean, we've known each other. Like, every one of them are just beautiful women. All the white, the Japanese, the Asian, all of them. Especially my sisters. Thank you.
So, but it was really nice, and we were able to just do a little talk a little bit. We went on stage and had a little, you know, each one of us spoke a little bit. And then pretty much after that, they had to leave. So we were a little disappointed. We didn't really bond as much as we could have if we were at least sitting together, you know, one long table in front of the scene, in front of the stage. But it was good to know Halle. And she, actually, Gloria and I were in a organization called Kwanzaa, back in the 70s. I joined at 76. She was, I think, in it a year or so before me or so. And it was to give, we were managing a battered women and children's home in Los Angeles. That name escapes me now, but it's still there. Why I say this with Hallie, because she now also is sponsoring that home and has built another wing onto the home.
Oh, brilliant.
The house. Yeah. Brilliant. And it was, and I don't know if I knew that when I first met her, because I would have said something to her. I've been trying to, you know, kind of reach her since then. But yeah, and it's so wonderful. And Gloria and I were in that organization that we would, every Kwanzaa, which is the 26th of December, which is my birthday too.
Oh, and
so we gave a big event, and we had the patrons give, very beginning, we had them give cans and, you know, non-perishables in a big can. They'd put it in, and we would give it to the families. And then later on, we would just get the money from the patrons that would send in for tickets and give it to the families if they needed their heat on, or for some of it was turned off, or we would just, you know, give them for Kwanzaa, because it was, you know, December. And then it's a great thing to know that that is connection. That's a connection.
Yeah,
We have with Hallie, and that she still has the house. Oh, I just, it went out of my mind, the name of the house, but it's still there. And you know, I used to go there and give some exercises and classes to the ladies and all that. The organization is not anymore, but still we give to we give to the house.
Wow.
But fortunately, it is sponsored a lot. You know, has more sponsors now.
Good,
especially with Hallie.
Yeah. And there's Lashana Lynch is, of course, in the new Bond film. She was meant to be playing 007, but I don't think she's going to be the new James Bond. I don't have to worry about that.
I mean, that's the whole big thing, that you know how rumors get around.
Yeah.
No, she's going to, I think she's going to take that number for a minute and or so, and then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she's not going to be a James Bond.
No.
It doesn't matter to me, but. You know, it's great that she is in the film and has
a role
of that. And one of the magazines said that I was against her being the James Bond. Not me. Of course not. And I'm very glad that she was, you know, that it was her featured role, being a black woman as a featured role. Here I am being the first, and I'm going to say I don't think it's actually. I don't know how.
They spin things.
Treasure that she's doing that, and I think it's a Jeffrey, black actor in it.
Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, Jeffrey Wright, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the franchise has been that since the very beginning. Yeah. It's been open to ethnicities.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's one thing I really praise about the Bond films, way before American films.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, Dr. No, I'm pretty sure.
A black actor
as, I think he was maybe Jamaican, or
to feature
or co-star with Bond.
Yeah.
Until he got killed in like the middle of the film or something. But, you know, what was that?
Great. 62?
Yeah.
Quite pioneering.
Japanese.
Yeah.
Right, the Japanese, who I met when I was in England, I forget her name now, who I think is a fabulous karate artist. Oh, she is.
So oh, really?
Yeah. Millie Yoa, or something, her last name.
Yeah, okay.
She co-starred with him, with Sir Sean, I think it was. And then I'm trying to think of the, what I'm saying, it's, you know, the ethnicity that they've cast has been just open.
Yeah.
So much more open than we are here. We're just getting to that point where we're casting, you know, other ethnicities featured in starring roles.
Could I possibly ask what it was like to be directed by Guy Hamilton as well? Because he's someone who's directed a few James Bond films. And I'm just wondering, you know, what that experience was like and how you remember it.
Oh, wonderful. Guy was the sweetest. I mean, he was... You know, he would wanted to say something to me. He would say, okay, like I have a picture of him leaning down, and he was saying something about when I was going to be on the ground or something. And mm-hmm. and if you could just do this, it's like, can you do this, please, for me? And I do it. Whatever you want, I'm going to do it. I'm used to directors saying, go here and you better go over there. Not
there.
And this is the way we're going to do it. That's American, you know?
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. Just wonderful working with Guy. Really wish I could have worked again with him.
Yeah.
As it's great. Knew exactly what he wanted in his way. It's wonderful, respectable, generous, whatever way of speaking to you. You know, not demanding and not, you know.
That's great.
It's lovely. Mm-hmm. Can you believe, Trina, it's 50 years nearly since Diamonds Are Forever came out? Can you believe that?
I cannot imagine. I mean, it's like it was last month.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the admiration and people that, you know, like when I did the signing of the in Pensacola signing. It is wonderful. It's right, just like I just did the movie.
Yeah.
You know? It's quite an honor. I had not a clue it would be. I would still be around speaking about this.
We'll always be talking about it. We did a review on it and spent about 10 hours talking about it. So, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're a bit sad, like I say. Yeah. it's a part of cinema history, James Bond, isn't it?
It is.
You've been a part of that. Yeah.
And I'm so proud, so proud. And I thank my agents. I thank Sid Rockley for casting me and my agents and Catherine Dunham for giving me that strength and knowing and the knowledge of the karate that she taught me, which was Agya, the Haitian karate is what I knew, you know. And so all of those people, all of those iconic people that are gone, God bless them all. You know, are all in me. They're all in me. I couldn't have done it without them.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Taught me a lot. Taught me so much.
Well, thank you very much, Trina, for speaking to us. We, like I say, we're in awe of anyone in to do with the Bond world and someone who's been in an amazing scene with Sean Connery and has had that experience. We're thrilled and delighted, and you've been absolutely brilliant. So thank you, Trina.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And I hope to be in 22.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because we'll
get out of the house, hopefully.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
I just wanted to add, you said it's amazing it's been 50 years since Diamonds Are Forever came out. But what's even more amazing is Trina is only 35.
She is, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Aww, you get an extra bonus for that.
Yeah, we will, yeah.
Where they come first.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.